Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914, page 781. Visible translated text is as follows. Defendant's Exhibit, 90. Testimony of Lewitt Lee before the coroner's inquest as follows. The Mr. Gant says, I would like to have them shoes, because I got to go to work Monday. I says, I can't let you in there unless Mr. Frank says so. He says, is Mr. Frank there? I says, yes. If you want me, I will go up and ask him. By that time, Mr. Frank comes down and runs right into Mr. Gant standing in the front door, and he looked like he was frightened. I saw Mr. Frank was in right discharge taken out one way. He and Mr. Gant had fell out him hanging around there that he was thought by some to do him some harm. Mr. Gant said, I got some old shoes up there and I would like to get them. Mr. Frank looked at him and said, what sort were they? And he said they were tans. I says, I think I sees a boy sweep them up in the trash. He says I have some black ones up there too. Well, I says I don't know anything about any black shoes. Then Mr. Gant says I can go up there and see if I can find them. Then he drops his head and looked right at me. Then Mr. Frank says, Newt, you go with him around and stay with him while he is up there. I did go with him and found the shoes like he says. And then I gave him some paper to wrap them up and I gave him some twine. I don't know when I ever seen him change that. Time slip before. He's put the tape in once before. It was one night. I never paid no attention to how long it took him. I didn't take him 5 minutes. I couldn't tell whether it took him a minute or not. On Saturday night, it took him a pretty good little bit because he spoke about it. He says, it's kind of hard to get in. Defendant's Exhibit 91. Harry Scott's testimony before coroner's inquest as follows. He just told me that he had been down at the police barracks Monday morning and he talked to John Black, and John Black seemed to suspect him of the crime. He then related to me his movements on the day of the murder. He said he was ported at the office of, I believe he said, a drugstore in the morning, stayed there up until he went to the Lion Tag Brothers. Mr. Barley accompanied him down the street a little ways, and he continued on to Lion Tag and returned to the factory, I believe at 10:20, that Arthur White and Harry Denham were employed on the fourth floor of the factory, working during the morning hours about 10 or 10. This little girl, Mary Fagan, came in and was paid off and went into the bookkeeper's office. And when he paid her off and went into the bookkeeper's office, and when she got her ear, the door, she turned to him and said, has the metal come yet? And Mr. Frank replied, no. Then he stated that he went on out, and it was about 12:50 that he went upstairs on the fourth floor where Denham and White were working and saw Mrs. White up there talking to her husband. He made the remark that he intended to go out and also asked the man if they were not white, I think he would leave, and also asked the man if they were going to work. They told him they didn't think they could through with their work. They told him they didn't think they could finish up right soon at that time, and he came on downstairs and told them he was going to lock the doors when he went out. He stated that he left the factory about 1:10 p.m., went home to his dinner, returned to the factory, then about 3 o'clock, and Denham were still on the fourth floor. He did not meet anyone going out or coming in. About 3:10, both White and Denham Dot left the building, that Newt Lee reported to him about 4 o'clock, as he had instructed him to do on the day previous, that it was his intention to go to the ball game that afternoon, and when Newt Lee, 438,